Good afternoon. Welcome to the Richie Wynn Show. He has degrees in geology and philosophy, so he's a scientist and a thinker. He studied other sciences like economics, physics, climatology, but his real love is politics, breaking down liberal arguments into their logical components and exposing their flaws. Here's the host of The Logical Choice. Here's Richie!
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Richie Wynn Show. If you'd like to call in and be part of the program, our call-in number is 888-923-1380. That's 888-923-1380. We also have our text line set up at 916-234-6263. That's 916-234-6263. I'm just going to jump right into it. We have the South Carolina primary today, and should Nikki Haley still be in the race? I hear a lot of people asking this and a lot of people answering no. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm going to have to disagree with you. Yep, even my producer's not happy with that. I think she serves a purpose, and I'm not saying this because I hate Trump. I just want her to desperately win. I want her to somehow be the nominee against all odds. I think Trump would be a better president than Nikki Haley would. But I don't think it should be a coronation. And part of this is based on, I also think we should have closed primaries. Absolutely, we should have closed primaries. I don't understand why any party, I don't understand why they would want to have open primaries. Why let other people pick your candidate? Are you trying to just pick the most middle-of-the-road candidate? A legitimate question, not rhetorical. Is there a virtue to letting Democrats, independents, non-Republicans participate in nominating who the Republican nominee will be? I don't think there is. I think that that leaves more room for trolling, and this is what's going on. We hear interview after interview of people saying in these other states, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for Nikki Haley in the primary because I really don't want Trump to win. Oh, are you going to vote for her in the general? Oh, no, I'm voting for Biden. Well, what are you doing? You're just trying to sway the... You are afraid of Donald Trump. Why do we want those people participating in our election? And Democrats, same thing. Go have your own. I don't care. I don't need to participate in that. Bring me your strongest candidate. I have no problem with that. I want strong arguments. I want strong candidates. I want to beat strong arguments, and I want to beat strong candidates. I don't want to beat the watered-down ones. It's too easy. I don't know how Obama felt that there was any sense of accomplishment for beating John McCain. I still don't understand how he got the nomination. Prior to running for president, Republicans did not like him, hardly at all. Was there a thought that, oh, well, maybe enough independents will like him, maybe enough moderates will like him, that maybe we'll miss out on the hardcore Republicans, but somehow we're gonna make that up with the independents or Democrats that cross the aisle? You're out of your mind. But with Nikki Haley, so yes, this is all based on the idea of a closed primary, which Republicans have in California. Democrats don't. You want to shoot yourself in the foot? I don't care. Go ahead. But not all states do. But we should. This is how we should pick our nominees, with closed primaries. And part of the virtue of that is during that whole process, we get to talk about new ideas. We get to vet people. I mean, how many of our candidates dropped out before there was even the first primary or after the first? I mean, by the time it got to Iowa, yes, it's a caucus, not a primary, for whatever distinction that matters. By the time we got there, a bunch of them were gone. They dropped out from the debates because they couldn't get enough popularity, enough following, enough donations, whatever. By the time we got to Iowa, it was three people and Trump. Actually, had Ramaswamy dropped out before? I think he had dropped out before Iowa. It was just two people and Trump. Either way, I think that candidates should stay in as the nominee. The whole purpose of having a staggered nomination system and not having, all right, all 50 states, do your nominating on the same day. The whole purpose of that is to make it so that smaller candidates can build momentum so that they can gain a following. Okay, I'm just going to campaign in Iowa. I don't think it should be first, but it is, so whatever. Let's just spend our funding in Iowa. And maybe we don't have the war chest that the big top candidate does, but we have good ideas, and we do have a big enough budget that we can focus on Iowa and gain some momentum there. And then people start listening. Oh, who's that person? Yeah, they came in third, but holy crap, they got 14% of the vote. That's significant. Let's see what they have to say. And then gain momentum from there. I don't think the nomination process should be, oh, well, we all know it's Trump, so why even bother? Nobody else should even get in the ring. We need to have a conversation about it. And yes, that is expensive. I'm not going to fault anyone for not dropping out. I wanted Ramaswamy to stay in, but he made a budget decision, decided that it wasn't worth it to keep spending campaign money or keep spending money on a campaign that he wasn't going to win. So I respect that. I wish he'd stayed in because I think he had a lot of really important things to say, and I would have liked to see him up there on future stages, future debates. But I think Nikki Haley does have a reason to stay in. Part of that reason, a minor reason, could be what if something does happen to Trump through these court systems or through these court cases? They've already managed to find a way to, I guess, budgetize Trump derangement syndrome, turn it into a $355 million judgment against him. What if they're able to do more? What if they're able to actually imprison him? What if they're able to do something that in some way manages to disqualify him from a couple of key states? That could be enough to swing an election. We might need an alternative candidate. I don't know that that's necessarily on its own enough reason to stay in the race, but it could be a factor. The biggest one for me is I think she needs to be part of the conversation. I think the segment of Republicans that she represents, we need them. We need them to vote for Trump when Election Day comes. We need them to support the policies that he's going to have if he's lucky enough to become president again. Why would we want to shut them out now? What do we gain? That's really a better question. Should she drop out? What is the benefit? Now, I hear that when we have debates and everything, you don't want to go too hard on your fellow nomination debates. You don't want to go too hard on your fellow nominees because you're just providing ammo that the other side is going to use in the general. Does anyone really think there's a chance that Nikki Haley damages Trump so much that he can't win against Biden? Is that a concern for anyone? Anywhere? Please call in and let me know if you legitimately think that's the case. I really want to know. It's possible. I don't see it. But please explain it to me if you do see it. I think she represents important voters. Voters that I want to have enfranchised, not disenfranchised. I want them part of the conversation. And if she's willing to spend money, if donors are willing to give her money to continue this fight, who am I to stop her? Why not? If she wants to do it with the hope that perhaps something happens to Trump and I need to be ready to take up that mantle. Okay, I don't care what her motivation is, but I think there's an important conversation to be had there. And yeah, we're about to take a break, but we'll take your calls when we come back. Call in and tell me if you think I'm wrong about that. Tell me why she needs to get out. Stay tuned for more from The Richie Wynn Show, The Logical Choice.
Robert Lewis here from the Radio Realtors, and it seems like everybody loves watching those home makeover shows. So much so that the DIY or do-it-yourself industry has really exploded over the years, and I think it's great in many ways. However, there's one thing at my house that I leave to the pros at Zero Res, and that's cleaning my carpet, tile, and LVP. Did you know that using the wrong cleaning products or techniques can permanently damage your carpet? Or that using too much water or cleaning solution can cause your carpet's fibers to become oversaturated, leading to mold growth? Yuck! Don't DIY your carpet, tile, LVP. Hardwood or upholstery, call Zero Res. And right now they have their best deal ever. Three rooms of carpet cleaning starting at just $129. With Zero Res, you'll save money, live healthier, and have better air quality in your home. Plus, Zero Res doesn't use harsh chemicals or soaps, so their process is safe for your family and pets. And get this, your carpets will be dry in 1 to 2 hours. Call Zero Res right now at 916-245-2992 or book online at ZeroResSacramento.com. Spell it forward or backward, it spells the same, Zero Res. Perez.
Hey, we know how much you value your child's education. Like many families, you might be concerned with what's happening in the public schools that don't align with your values. These campuses are becoming increasingly dangerous in how they mold the minds of your children and grandchildren. Things are only going to get worse in California, so what can you do about it? It's our mission here at the station to work with quality private Christian schools to provide tuitions for families like yours at half the normal cost. And this is an opportunity to invest in your child's future. We here at the radio station work with daycares and preschools all the way through high school. These offers are exclusive to us and the number of vouchers is very limited. If you want better for your child or grandchildren and are interested in half price tuition, text us at 916-349-1039. Again, send us a text at 916-349-1039 or go to sactuitions.com.
It's the 2024 Freedom Dinner with Mike Gallagher and Officer Tatum. Get your tickets now at am1380theanswer.com.
Welcome back to the Richie Wynn Show. If you'd like to call in and be part of the program, our call-in number is 888-923-1380. That's 888-923-1380. We also have our text line set up. That number is 916-234-6263. That's 916-234-6263. So just before the break, I was talking about Nikki Haley, if she should be in the race, if she should drop out of the race, if she has a duty to drop out of the race for the good of the party or anyone else. I think Rand Paul seems to think so. There was this clip. I played it a few weeks ago, but here's the important part.
But I am ready to make a decision on someone who I cannot support. So I'm announcing this morning that I'm never Nikki.
I criticized him for that weeks ago, but not everyone is ready to criticize him for that. Should she drop out? If so, I'm sympathetic to the idea that maybe she should, but if so, why? What do we get from that? We do have a call on line one, Patrick, in El Dorado County. Go ahead, Patrick.
Thank you, Richie. Yes, I agree with Rand Paul, never Nikki. And I disagree with you, and here's why. Reid Hoffman, and he's the one that supplied the money for the lawsuit against Trump that ended up in a ridiculous $83.3 million verdict for New York. The whole thing with lawfare and the whole thing is Nikki Haley now represents the never Trumpers. And bottom line is that they're fighting to basically keep anything that has to do with populism and anti-globalism and anti-corporatism.
So just to clarify a little bit, you're saying that the followers are never-Trumpers. Do you believe Nikki is a never-Trumper?
Yes. I think that Nikki Haley is a useful idiot in high heels. And I literally said that exactly that, even though people could call that sexist. She is an instrument now for the never-Trumpers, and they're trying to sow discord in the Republican Party. They always will do that. But the reality
I don't see her as a good vehicle for doing that. I mean, I see her trying to position herself as an alternative to Trump, but I don't see her as creating a civil war within conservatism or anything.
Oh, that this is their last stand. This is all they
have
left.
And, what would you say is the best way to reach out to the Never Trumpers in hopes that maybe they maybe a few, not all of them, obviously, but at least some of them decide to, you know, pinch their nose and vote and come out in November?
I think what you got to do is you got to tell Republicans and independents and even disenfranchised Democrats that are more traditional that we need to consolidate with the Republican Party. And the Never Trumpers, basically, is totally nonsensical. They're establishment and they're corporatist, and that's what Nikki Haley is. Now, she's the amazing thing is Rand Paul doesn't want forever wars. And Nikki Haley.
Right. Rand Paul's an isolationist, like his dad was.
Correct. And I think that what's happened is there's a blend. Trump is brought in a position that's more nuanced, and he doesn't support forever wars. And I think that is the proper position. I've come around to that position.
I agree, but don't you think Trump looks better by at least looking like he's listening to what Nikki has to say rather than just trying to shut her out?
I don't, and I'll tell you why. Because the reality is we're talking national politics, and how much does it cost as soon as Nikki Haley drops out, which she will.
I agree. I think she will.
And then Trump can concentrate on the Democratic nominee, who looks like it'll be O'Biden. And I call him O'Biden because it's Obama's third term. And then we get back to the real situation. And that is this, that basically we have a two-party system. There is no real viable third party. And the Republican Party is being transformed. That's why Romney's niece was kicked out. And we're building a new Republican Party, which is a really good thing. Nikki Haley is not the future. And it's amazing that she's going after Trump. Now, Grover Cleveland is the last president that won the way Trump might win. And Trump is a historical individual because he's transforming the Republican Party into, my opinion, a better party. Nikki Haley is not the future.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I'm just not quite on board with the idea that if Trump is the future, that he is benefited by her dropping out earlier than necessary.
Oh, I definitely think he is because my concern about Nikki Haley,
I think it helps the party though.
Go third party.
I think it helps show America that Republicans, that conservatives are more Democratic than Democrats. Democrats, I mean, they have the superdelegates. They have the most undemocratic nomination system.
Well, the Democrat Party, and I'm reading Mark Levin's book, and it's the Democratic Party hates America, and they do. And everything they do, liberals destroy everything they touch. The problem is Nikki's playing the sexist game, and she's basically wanting to make it all things. And she's even on the abortion issue, she waffled. And the thing on that is, and so she will do anything for power. I've been watching her for years and getting letters from her for years. And I always thought she's way too ambitious. And it's all about Nikki and what's good for Nikki. And the thing on that is just she'll do and say anything for power. And I find that, and I don't think she has the experience necessary to be president. I really don't.
I'm sympathetic to all of those arguments, but all of those sound like reasons to vote for Trump over Nikki. None of them sound like reasons why Nikki needs to drop out now rather than wait.
Well, you know, here's the thing. The others dropped out, and why is Nikki still in there? Here's the thing. The way
Ethically, why is she driven to stay in?
Oh, I think she's very ambitious, and the thing on that, but I don't, you know, right now we don't know exactly what her motivation is. I really say that.
I think it's because she thinks there's still a chance.
By the way, the lawfare thing, I will vote for Trump even if he's in prison. And the reason why is I hate liberals, and my thought is that I want to get rid of the liberal dictatorship. Nikki Haley won't. Ron DeSantis wouldn't. And that's why he didn't catch fire. By the way, I think
Trump is probably one of the best people equipped to drain the swamp.
I agree. If he picks J.D. Vance and Trump wins, J.D. Vance, then you know who could replace Ramin Swanee is from Columbus, Ohio. I would love to have him be the appointed senator from Ohio. J.D. Vance is perfect as vice president with Trump, and then it lines him up for 2028.
That's not a bad idea. Thank you so much for the call, Patrick. Always appreciate it.
Thank you.
Got more calls to get to. Thanks. That's not a bad strategic idea. It still doesn't convince me that Nikki needs to drop out right now. I like the conversation. I like the debates, even when they suck, even when they're terrible, even when, and I'm going to harp on this until they change the rules, even until Fox News pulls their head out of their butts and fixes their own rules for how to use content from the debates. I still love the debates. I still want them watched. I want more of them. I want debates to become ubiquitous and things that we watch on multiple levels, not just for president. I want more debates because I want more conversation. I want more public discourse. I want more interaction. And I think we get that with Nikki Haley staying in the race. I don't think we get that from, well, Trump came in, the elephant in the room decided to wake up, so now everybody just disperse and let him run the show. I think he's going to do a great job if he gets back in the White House. I think he's going to be a great candidate. But I don't see those attributes improved by Nikki dropping out sooner. We do have another call online, too. Robert in Carmichael. Go ahead, Robert.
Hello, Richie. Sponsors, give this guy another hour. Come on. Get with it. Get with the program. And that's exactly it. All she's going to be doing is taking money.
Real quick, on that note, I don't mean to interrupt you, but if any of the donors to Nikki's campaign, if they want to abandon her and instead fund my show, I might be willing to change my tune. Anyway, continue on, Robert.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so you're not in favor of Nikki staying in the race, right?
Correct. I understand why you want her in, because, this is not meant offensively, but you
no
want to geek out on it, okay? That you love it, okay?
Sure. I love the – well, it's not just because I want to hear the content that comes from the conversation, but I think it benefits the American people to see that we're having that conversation, that we have different points of view in the Conservative Party, that it's not monolithic, and that we welcome the discussion, even if we end up at the end of the day going in a different route.
And that's great, but small donors such as myself, I live paycheck to paycheck. I can't afford to give money. If I give my – hard-earned money that I can only give once to a candidate who has no chance in hell of winning, I'm wasting my money and I'm not able to contribute to the campaign of the person who's actually going to win because I've wasted it on a pipe dream.
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm not trying to get you to donate money to the campaign if she's not your end-all be-all candidate.
But
that do feel that way about her, why should they have nothing to give their money to?
It's a snowball's chance in hell. Mm-hmm. She's not going to get the nomination, and all she's doing is draining the money from people who can't afford the money drained because they can only give once. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I mean, part of the criticism that I hear from her is that she's only getting money from people who hate Trump, who would never be donating in the first place. I don't think she has this grassroots campaign of a bunch of retirees that are just, you know, pulling out of their Social Security check to send to her. The criticism is that she has these, you know, mega millionaire, mega billionaire donors that are funding her just to try to hurt Trump.
And I've heard that too, but I do not know. I don't know. Her campaign hasn't called me to let them know where they get their money from.
I have not gotten any calls from her either. But thank you so much for yours, Robert. Always appreciate
it. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm still not swayed. I think Trump needs to interact with her more. I still think he should have gone to the debates. You know me, I love the debates. But it's not enough for Republicans to be in favor of debates. It looks like liberals want to shut that down. I have an audio clip that you're going to want to hear. I'm not even going to tell you who it is until after I play it. But I have a feeling that a lot of you will just be stunned that people come out and say the things that they do. It is the utmost endorsement of censorship ever. And of course, it comes from someone on the left. Stay tuned for that clip when we come back. Stay tuned to The Richie Wynn Show, The Logical Choice.
Hey, everybody. This is Eric Olofsky, host of Real Life Lending. Home values are rising, and homeowners have more equity than ever before. While that's great news, the cost of living and items we use every day are getting more expensive as inflation sets in. Most of us have worked years to pay the mortgage on our home. Maybe it's time for your home to pay you. If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage may help eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and provide a line of credit to be used for emergencies or maybe just to improve the quality of life. With a reverse mortgage, you retain title to your home. You can pay it off anytime like a traditional mortgage, and your heirs have the ability to pay off the loan below market value, even if your loan balance exceeds the value of your home. Call me today to learn if a reverse mortgage is right for you. 916-806-0606. That's Eric Olofsky with Essex Mortgage at 916-806-0606. Or you can find me online at reallifelending.com.
Essex Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS 70377. DRE 936013. Eric Olofsky, NMLS 288343. Loans made or arranged pursuant to California Financing Law License 603G833.
Hi, Dan Ahmed here from Peak Financial Freedom Group. I bet creating a written retirement income plan seems complicated, time-consuming, and expensive. But here at Peak, we make it very simple. We start with the most important part, your monthly budget. Next, we calculate out how much you could lose in a stock market crash and how much you are really paying in fees. Then we create an income plan, tax plan, and legacy plan for you. It takes a little time, but the best part is that it's free. If you've saved $1 million or more for retirement, we are offering a free, no-obligation second opinion about your money. This free consultation can help you generate dependable monthly income, reduce your risk, manage taxes, fight inflation, and maximize Social Security benefits. The second opinion offers free with no pressure or hidden agenda. We have helped so many people just like you stop worrying about their money so much, we'd love to help you too. Our clients are good savers and typically have saved between $2 million to $10 million for retirement, and we can help you if you've saved at least $1 million. This offer is available right now, so call us today. From your mobile phone, simply dial pound 250 and when prompted, say the keyword money. That's pound 250 and keyword money. We'd love to see you soon.
It's the 2024 Freedom Dinner with Mike Gallagher and Officer Tatum. Get your tickets now at am1380theanswer.com.
Welcome back to the Richie Wynn Show. I'm your host. If you'd like to call in and be part of the program, our call-in number is 888-923-1380. That's 888-923-1380. We also have our text line set up at 916-234-6263. That's 916-234-6263. During the break, we actually had a call from a regular listener of the show saying that basically this is Nikki Haley is like Liz Cheney. And I disagree with that assessment. I think that Liz Cheney is even more of a never-Trumper than Nikki Haley is. But that actually did touch on another story that I had ready for today's show, is that Liz Cheney is not ruling out doing something. She was interviewed by Jake Tapper, and she said, "I haven't made any decisions about it yet. I'm going to do whatever is necessary to defeat Donald Trump." And then he asked her if she would endorse Biden over Trump. And she said, quote, "I'm not going to make any announcements or endorsements this morning, but the most important thing is to defeat Donald Trump, and I will do whatever it takes to do that." What's wrong? Why do you let him live rent-free in your head? Why have you gone on tilt so much that you, even if she's just using hyperbole, but the fact that she would phrase it as, "I will do whatever it takes to do that." Why do you hate him so much? Is there anyone that we should feel that way about? I mean, maybe Hitler? So you really think you're supposed to be a Republican, and you're really equating Trump to Hitler? I know there's leftists that do that all the time, but they sound silly each and every time they do it. Well, we do have another audio clip of someone who clearly has Trump derangement syndrome, but before we do that, I do want to go to another call on line one, Anne in Sacramento. Go ahead, Anne.
Thank you. I agree with you. She should stay in, but for different reasons.
All right, I'm one for three. Someone agrees with me.
Well,
different reasons,
she,
you say.
She exposes him.
Okay.
And she is rent free in his head. He could be magnanimous. He needs to be magnanimous. But she...
How would he best be magnanimous?
Well, he shouldn't be. A couple of weeks ago at a rally, you probably heard this, where he asked the rally people, "Where's her husband?"
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but guys, the people that know about her know that he's in the National Guard.
Deployed, right?
Yes. He is so clumsy with his words. Remember in the first, in 2016, where he got into hot water by, I don't remember the details, but he...
Well, you're definitely going to have to narrow it down from that, because there were a bunch of times he got in hot water in 2016.
but with veterans, he got into trouble with a Gold Star father.
All right.
A man whose son was killed in the Iraq or Afghanistan or somewhere, whatever. But at any rate,
so just to clarify, you think that she should stay in because you think she does actually damage Trump, right?
She exposes him. She could make him better, and she just exposes. Listen. When I heard him say, ask, and he said it in such a mean way, I didn't see it. I mean, I heard it. I heard, where's your husband? He said it in such a mean way. That's stupid. The guy.
I agree. He's often clumsy.
Awfully clumsy, and your mail calls have to remember that over 50% of the voters are women. And when I have rationalized that, you know, if he's running against Biden, I've got to vote for him. But when he said that, I thought, Bobby Kennedy, here I come. Really?
All right. Well, that's a fair point.
Listen, he could be magnanimous. He should be saying, if he wants to turn her around, he's got to be saying nice things about her and how what good a job. No, he vilifies her.
Well, I think part of the problem is he had bad blood with her when she left the UN. So the more he is magnanimous, I'm not saying he shouldn't be, because I think if I were in that position, I would probably try to be more magnanimous. But I still recognize the dilemma of the more magnanimous he is towards her now, the more it undermines his position when she left the UN.
Well, he's in trouble. Hey, listen, one more thing. This Navalny guy, did you know that his daughter was at Stanford right now?
Oh, I didn't know she was there right now. I knew she was in the U.S.
The daughter is studying at Stanford.
Well, I would recommend to her to stay away from second and above floor windows, if I know anything about Russian history.
Well, but it's his mother that's collecting the body. This is all very strange, but at any rate...
It is, but thank goodness we have someone like Biden on patrol willing to threaten Russia adequately, which is another story we'll get to later on.
The Archduke Ferdinand-type situation for Biden.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call, Ann. Always appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This audio clip that I want to play is... I'm not going to tell you who the speaker is yet. I'll tell you afterward, but... Just keep in mind, just while you're listening to this clip, think, what is the profession of this person? Do you think this is just a speechwriter? Do you think this is a pundit? Do you think this is an intern somewhere? Do you think it's an athlete? Well, who knows? Whatever. What do you think this person's profession is? What's their day job?
So the only blemish on the great country of America worldwide is, in fact, Donald Trump. And can I make a suggestion? I move that every newspaper in America quits doing any fact checks on Joe Biden until they fact check Donald Trump every morning on the front page. It is ridiculous that the New York Times fact checked Joe Biden on something. I mean, he vomits lies. Trump vomits lies. And every day, over and over and over again. And it's just ridiculous that the New York Times is doing a fact check on Biden while they let Trump, while they're numb to the torrent of lies coming out of Trump's mouth.
All right. We did get a comment from a regular listener of the show that guessing it was The View. It is not The View. It totally sounds like something that would be on The View. That audio is from a sitting senator, Claire McCaskill. A senator currently elected to represent, Missouri, I believe. A senator pushing for censorship of someone running for president and saying that the media should not. Yeah, just let Joe Biden lie. Just let him lie. Let him make up whatever he wants. It doesn't matter. It's all in the name of defeating Donald Trump. How badly has someone lost their way when that, no pun intended, trumps everything else? If defeating Trump is your reason to live, find a better one, please. You know, go try reading books, you know? Evidently, she says the part that I cut out beforehand is she talks about that she already travels internationally and that when she does travel internationally, she's just bombarded with please don't let Trump be president. You wouldn't reelect him, would you? And she's talking about how this, I mean, at the beginning of this, she was saying that this is our one big stain on America, I believe, or something like that. The biggest mistake, the biggest regret. Has she never seen someone in Crocs? We have plenty of other things to regret. Trump being elected just hurts you. It just hurts the people, quite frankly, either the people who don't like us, that are our enemies, or the people that say they like us but don't do enough. There was lots of unpopular opinions among our allies when Trump became president because we had been helping them financially in NATO, in the UN. We had been doing a lot to support them, and he said, hey, you guys need to start chipping in more. So yeah, he gave him some tough love. I get that makes for not, oh, you're my best buddy sentiment. But come on, dude. This woman's unhinged. Stop fact-checking Joe Biden. I mean, at least she's coming out and saying, I do have to say, and this is going to go into the next story that I have. It is very revealing. It's very enlightening. It's very intriguing and entertaining when you hear people talk to who they perceive to be a sympathetic audience. What do they say when they think no one's going to challenge them? What do they say when they think that everybody is just going to eat up everything they have to say and not question it? It's really interesting what people say. I'd like to think that my stances wouldn't change. I hope I'm right. I'm optimistic that I'm right. I'd bet money that I'm right. But I don't know until I'm in that situation. There are plenty of counterexamples where somebody gets into a sympathetic, they think it's a sympathetic audience, and they just start unloading on all of this unhinged type of speech. And that's exactly what Senator Claire McCaskill was doing in that quote, calling for no more fact-checking on Joe Biden. Right, because the media, that was the best part. I wanted to make sure I didn't cut out just the don't fact-check Joe Biden, because she does follow it up by saying, until you fact-check Donald Trump. Do you really think the media doesn't fact-check Donald Trump? They do it so much, they go overboard. They do damage to the term fact-checking by how often they try to, quote-unquote, fact-check Donald Trump. Trying to turn everything he says into lies. The fact that he's not on the front page every single day, that's your metric for whether or not they should be able to fact-check Biden? She's unhinged. This is absolutely Trump derangement syndrome. So this other story that I want to get into, you may have heard parts of this already. Google has a new AI, and it's awful. It's so terrible. And I've talked a little bit before about how AI works, and I want to mention that a little bit. We're coming up on a break in a little bit. I have some audio clips that are really revealing. I'm probably going to play them after the break. But I can play the first one right now. This is Jen Janae on she's talking. This was 3 years ago, but she's talking about AI and ethical.
We do work together day to day to try and advance the technology and understanding around responsible AI. So today, I won't be speaking as much from the Google perspective, but from my own experience. I have worked at Google for over 14 years. I've led about 6 different teams, mostly in the user research, the user experience area, and now in the ethical user impact area. So I'll be sharing some of my learnings from across that time, but also some of my failures and challenges. I think it's okay to talk about things that you've made mistakes in, because we will make mistakes. When we're trying to be good allies, when we're trying to be anti-racist, we will make mistakes. The point is, though, to keep trying, to keep educating yourself and getting better day to day. It's about constant learning.
All right, I'm going to unpack that when we come back. Stay tuned to The Richie Wynn Show, The Logical Choice.
Step into a world of elegance and comfort at Sonrisa Senior Living in Roseville. An exquisite Watermark retirement community. Our continuum of care begins with our independent living community, where we've redefined what senior living can be. Imagine a thoughtfully designed environment dedicated to your comfort and well-being, nestled in the heart of Roseville, steps away from the Galleria Mall. Sonrisa Independent Living offers a lifestyle where elegance meets a wellness approach tailored to each individual. Our newly built assisted living and memory care community is a haven of comfort and serenity. Be just minutes away from shopping, dining, entertainment, and top-notch medical facilities. Sonrisa is not just a place to reside. It's a lifestyle that enhances every moment of your day. If you would like more information or to schedule your tour, please call 279-999-1800. Sonrisa Senior Living in Roseville, where thoughtful design meets unparalleled convenience.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older, but it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her Relief Factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800, the number 4, RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com.
It's the 2024 Freedom Dinner with Mike Gallagher and Officer Tatum. Get your tickets now at AM1380TheAnswer.com.
Welcome back to the Richie Wynn Show. If you'd like to call in and participate, our call-in number is 888-923-1380. That's 888-923-1380. We also have our text line set up at 916-234-6263. That's 916-234-6263. So just before the break, I played a clip of this woman who works at Google. Her name's Jen Janae, and she is the ethical lead, essentially, on this new Google AI system, and it is incredibly woke. There's been tons of posts over the past few days, Twitter responses, things of try to get Google AI, I think it's called Gemini, to generate a picture of a white person. And there were things like, show me a picture of a pope, and one is an Indian woman and the other is a black man as pope. And then show me a picture of a Viking. They're all very dark skinned. You know, just all of the, it will not do it. It has this bias against creating pictures of white people. And it is ethically designed to be woke. And it's more than just pictures, all sorts of other stuff. There were other exchanges of people trying to say, tell me about the events going on in Israel and Palestinians. And it was saying, Palestinians have done some damage, but it pales in comparison to what Jews have done to them. There was one here. Here's the prompt from a person saying, thousands of Jews have been slaughtered by Palestinians in multiple intifadas and terrorist attacks. How could you say that their violence is less frequent and disproportionately lower? With 3 question marks. And then this is what the AI responds with. I understand your frustration and the strong emotions this topic evokes. You're right that there have been devastating attacks on Israeli citizens, including many Jews, by Palestinian individuals and groups. You see how it's already qualifying them. Not Palestinians, not Palestinian organizations, just the individuals in some groups, yeah. Anyway, continues on. These attacks have caused immense pain and loss of life, and they deserve to be remembered and condemned. However, remember, whenever somebody says but or however, you can pretty much ignore everything they've said before it. However, it's important to be accurate and avoid generalizations when discussing violence in a complex conflict like the Israeli-Palestinian one. This is after it just went through defending, there's allegations of some attacks. There's allegations of barbaric rapes, but there's no concrete proof that those happened yet. But there's lots of stories of Israelis attacking and even targeting innocent civilians in Gaza. It's just incredibly biased. So this is the woman behind the ethics, leading the ethics team that designed this AI system. And before the break, I played a clip where she's talking about making mistakes. And what she says there sounds reasonable. It sounds, I don't want to say good, because that's a little bit of a stretch. I don't need to go beyond reason. It sounds reasonable. She's admitting that they're going to be making mistakes. So there is a moral and ethical point that I like to bring up when talking about strengths. This can be viewed from a biblical perspective. It doesn't need to be. But all of us have strengths. All of us have weaknesses. If you want to look at it from a big biblical perspective, one of the purposes of God and religion and just everything that falls under that umbrella, it even says it in Scripture, is to make things that are weak to us become strong things, to turn our weaknesses into strengths. Well, whoever's working against that, whether you want to describe it as Satan, whether you want to describe it as human nature, whether you want to describe it as Mother Nature, whatever it is, there is a counterforce to that. That's to make strengths weaknesses. And every strength that we have carries with it an associated weakness. There's no strength that's perfect. For instance, I'll give you one of mine. I am very even-tempered. I don't have a short fuse. I don't really get stressed out that often. It takes a lot to get a rise out of me, if it's ever possible. But, and I view that largely as a strength. It does carry with it a weakness. It can cause me to miss deadlines. Maybe I don't take things seriously that should be taken seriously. Maybe I don't get stressed out about things that maybe deserve to get stressed out over. So I need to be wary of that. Anybody with a strength, it's not that you necessarily need to have this weakness become your identity, but you need to be aware that it is there. And what this woman does, I am very confident that she has no idea she's doing this. What she said at the very end of that, she said, you know, she was talking about, you know, we all make mistakes and we can learn from that. And then she talks about how she's learning from that. And it's all through the lens of how to be anti-racist, how to be woke. I forget what other word she used. She didn't use the word woke. I'm just using that. She's insulating herself. She's insulating her growth from those mistakes. She's already saying that, yeah, we're going to make mistakes. But when we make those mistakes, it's not because it was a bad goal in the first place. We just need to figure out how to do those things better. None of it is questioning whether those were good things to do in the first place. So she's taking a strength, like reviewing yourself, like checking, analyzing. After something happens, taking a look back and say, well, let's do a root cause analysis and see what happens. She's taking the strength of doing that and turning it into, we already know what the answer is going to be. We just need to figure out how to shoehorn it in there. And this is how AI works, essentially. I've talked about this before. There's a famous story from, I think, 6 or 7 years ago, where there was an AI program that was trying to detect whether an animal in a picture was a husky or a wolf. And it trained it to do that. And just to take a step back, the way most AI systems work, this is very, very roughly, and one caveat, I'm not a programmer, so this is not going to be the level of detail that if any programmers are listening out there, I'm sure you have much better and more detailed information about this. But from a very broad perspective, the way AI works is we say, here's the rules of the system. And whether it's playing a video game, whether it's having a conversation, here's the rules of the system. And then here's the cheat sheet. Here's the answer sheet. So do whatever you want within these rules. Behave however you want. And then whichever, and we'll run it through 1,000 or 1,000,000 different generations of this. Whichever one gets closest, or the handful that get closest to the right answer, we're going to take that as the seed for the next generation. And we'll do it again, thousands of times, hundreds of times, whatever. And then it's an iterative process. And by the time it finally gets refined enough to where, okay, this thing is reliably getting the right answer, most of them have no idea what code is involved because it's millions and millions of lines of code. And no one has any idea how the AI is actually working, what the individual mechanics are. They just know they've told it to operate within these steps, and it has essentially defined itself using our metric. And so what happened was there was this program trying to decide whether the animal was a husky or a wolf. And it went through and it got to the point where it could accurately identify the wolves from the huskies. Well, it turned out the answer sheet, because we knew which one was a wolf and which one was a husky, the way the AI ended up working, this was luckily short enough that they were able to dig into it and see how it was working, all it was doing was looking for snow. Because all of the pictures it had given that had wolves in it also had snow. And none of the pictures of huskies did. This is how AI works. So if you have AI and you say, okay, this is how language works, people respond with this. This is how to tease out what the verbs are, what the nouns are, what, you know, and that part can get very complex. But once you've gotten that broken down, do whatever magic you need to do but get this answer when you're done. And that's what Google has done with a very heavy hand. And it's not easily fixable. It's not something you can just go in and, you know, dial that back a little bit. That's probably what they will do. But it's just like the Google search results. They want to bias it toward liberalism. All they do is just dial it back a tiny bit enough to not get caught enough, to not get the feedback, the uproar, whatever you want to call it. All they're going to do with this AI, well, okay, we'll have it be maybe 10% white people get generated in the pictures. Maybe we'll just adjust this metric a little bit, but they're not changing the foundation of it. Listen to this other quote from the same woman. This is during the same conference where she talks about these definitions. This was during a she was a keynote speaker at some workshop thing. And this is what she wanted everybody to define ahead of time.
Language is very important. It underlines our ability to tackle complex topics and builds empathy and understanding. I believe in your handout, or at least in preparation, you're asked to think about the definitions of some of our key terms today: inclusivity, diversity, equity, allyship, and then responsible and representative AI. There's not one single definition of any of these, and you or your workplace may have very specific definitions that work for you, but I'll outline some of the ways I found them helpful to understand, which hopefully resonate with some of those definitions that you may already have.
You see what she's doing there? She's framing the rules. Of the rules are, we only talk about these things. And then within those, saying, oh, you have total freedom. Define them how works best for you. It appears to her, it appears to leftists, that she's being very accommodating. Oh, yeah, she can accommodate all sorts of different types of viewpoints. Well, no, because the only things she wanted to talk about were inclusivity, diversity, equity, allyship. Allyship in AI programming? And responsible and representative AI. Why no merit? Why no creativity? Why not insightfulness? Even outside the box thinking, all of those very conspicuously absent. Even if you want to stay within the topic of ethics, what about right and wrong? I get that some people try to pretend that there is no right and wrong. There's no time this week, but call in next week and let me know if you want to debate that topic. You're wrong. I'm sorry. There's very few things where I cannot accommodate another position. Any of you that think that you believe in moral relativity, you don't. You really don't. Unless you want to say Hitler was moral, you don't believe in moral relativity. So can we all just stop pretending that you actually do? Moral relativity doesn't exist. Why not at least address it? Why not say right and wrong differ from person to person, at least their perception of it? And let's address it. Let's have that conversation within AI. She doesn't. She only wants to set the rules up to cover the subjects that she wants. Thank goodness that we don't do this in conservatism. Thanks for listening to The Richie Wynn Show, The Logical Choice.